content of this program is intended for people who are blind and impaired. And print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is All About Pets. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the New York Times, the New Gazette Online, NationalGeographic.com, Catster.com, and Dogster.com. On today's program, we're going to start with an article from the New York Times titled, A French Veterinary Psychiatrist Puts Cats on the Couch, by Sadie Stein. In The Interpretation of Cats, Claude Bieta helps explain the inscrutable behavior of our feline companions. Even dog people must admit that cats are having a moment. In a year where Senator J.D. Vance's comment about childless cat ladies touched off a political firestorm, and a New York Magazine article called Is My Cat a Prisoner? Positioned our pets as windows on our souls, or lack thereof. A book by a jovial Parisian veterinary psychiatrist, has steadily climbed the French bestseller list. Just translated and published in the United States, Claude Bieta's The Interpretation of Cats puts cats on the couch, as well as their human companions. What do we do with cats? Bieta asked recently over aperitifs in a cafe not far from the Eiffel Tower. Today, they are iconic. But yesterday, they were devils, witches, familiars. And tomorrow, maybe they will be devils again. Because we don't understand them. We just project. He added, cats are not so easily understandable as dogs. Dogs are a social species. It's easy to talk with them. Cats are strangers. In The Interpretation of Cats, Bieta, 65, explains feline behavior by introducing us to the hyperactive Nougatine, who wreaks chaos wherever he goes, the hypervigilant Caramel, the fiercely territorial Kiss and Sherry, and others, many with appetizing names. But the book was not written just so people can understand why their cats act as they do. It's also a font of practical tips for cat owners. He recommends, for instance, that people give cats a drinking place, an eating place, and a sleeping place they can claim as their own. They are individuals, and we have to respect them. Some of Bieta's advice is culturally specific. The French don't have a concept of cat people as the natural adversaries of dog people. Vive la différence. And Bieta often suggests that his human clients get one of each. Also, the French tend to be more sex-positive when it comes to their pets. For Bieta, to deny an animal the ability to reproduce is, in some sense, curtailing their liberties. Many of Bieta's prescriptions are universal, however. For example, he wishes to tear down the stigma against keeping cats indoors. As he points out, cats are a relatively new arrival to the human home, far more recent than dogs. They are still wild animals, small ones programmed for vigilance and sometimes violence. When they venture outside, they are both predator and prey. As such, cats who are free to wander may find it harder to relax in your lap, and they are also less likely to play. They're too tired. Outdoor cats live an average of 4 years less than houseband cats, and a difference that Bieta attributes partly to stress. Cat owners, Bieta said, should always remember that their pets like to keep to themselves. That's why COVID was hard for cats compared to dogs. In general, dogs were so happy that the people were there. But cats, the first day they would say, wow, interesting. The second day they say, okay. The third day they say, when are you going back to work? I'd like my space, please. In The Interpretation of Cats has one overarching refrain. It is the uselessness, the cruelty, but especially the uselessness of trying to punish a cat. Because cats are fundamentally asocial, because unlike primates or canines, they are not hardwired for hierarchy. Negative reinforcement doesn't register with them, except as a turnoff. They may remember a swat. Indeed, Bieta says, cats can hold a grudge for life, but they won't learn from it. This doesn't mean we can't learn from them. In fact, Bieta says, cats are excellent teachers and can help us internalize important lessons about intimacy and consent. When the Me Too movement happened and everyone was speaking of respect for the body, I was thinking, cats are the perfect teachers. Cats say, don't touch me if I do not allow you. Next, we'll move on to an article, Pet Talk, Making Sure You and Your Pet Are Ready for the Holidays, by Jenna Carmargo, who is a University of Iowa College of Veterinary Medicine. If the sounds of Christmas carols on the radio and crunching snow underfoot has not yet alerted you, the holidays are on the horizon. Dr. Kanan Shores, a veterinarian who heads the Urgent and Convenient Care Service at the University of Illinois Veterinary Teaching Hospital, has advice for making sure the upcoming holidays are just as safe and enjoyable for our pets as for the human members of our family. He says pet owners face different sets of safety concerns depending on whether they are traveling with their pet, traveling and boarding their pet, or leaving them with a sitter, staying at home with their pet, or hosting a gathering. Traveling with your pet. Dr. Shores recommends taking a few precautions before you travel with your pet to help the trip go as smoothly as possible. If your pet takes any medications, double-check your stock to verify that you have enough to comfortably last the duration of your trip. Do this well in advance to avoid needing a last-minute refill on your way out of town. Research urgent or emergency care facilities on your route and at your destination so you're aware of the locations before an issue arises. Talk to your vet about any medications that may make travel easier, whether by relieving the pet's stress or preventing GI upset with a bland prescription diet. As Dr. Shores says, sedatives are our friends. The goal is to minimize the impact of travel on your pet. When your pet stays behind, again, it's important to make sure your pet has all the necessary medications before you depart. Additionally, Dr. Shores offers a few considerations for the times you are boarding your pet. Most boarding facilities require proof of vaccination and deworming. Fulfilling these requirements can take 2 to 4 weeks, depending on which vaccines are needed, he says. Try to plan as far ahead as possible and go through your pet's medical record to ensure all criteria are met. Even if the boarding facility does not require these protections, your pet may fare better having maximum preventative care. Talk to your primary care veterinarian about what additional steps can be taken to limit your pet's risk, he advises. Holidays at home with your pet. Before exposing your pet to all the chaos the holidays can bring, you should consider several potential hazards. There are going to be many more tasty treats around, with a lot of high-value foods being thrown in the garbage, such as turkey carcasses and steak fat, notes Dr. Shores. Make sure the trash can is well secured. Don't assume that just because your pet hasn't gotten into something in the past that they won't do it now. Pets change as they get older, sometimes becoming more obedient, but sometimes becoming less obedient. He also strongly recommends keeping the number for an animal poison hotline on hand. I recommend the ASPCA hotline. 1-888-426-4435. There's a small fee for using this resource, but it's well worth it, he says. If you're concerned that your pet has ingested something that may be toxic, you can call that number and they will help determine if your pet should be seen by a veterinarian. Cats are especially likely to chew on things like tinsel and wire. Unfortunately, this can lead to serious problems such as GI obstruction. Cats are also more likely to climb up onto objects, such as decorative trees, says Dr. Shores. If those objects fall, the cat could be injured. He advises putting up decorations when you're going to be home for a few days. That way you can watch how your pet is going to react to these objects. If there is a concern that the pet may not fare well, scale back on the decorations, he advises. Hosting a gathering. Just like people, our pets may feel a range of emotions, depending on their personality, at the prospect of having guests in the home. Pet owners should consider that before the party begins and take steps to minimize their pet's stress. Some pets are going to be gregarious, greeting people at the door happily and not causing any problems, says Dr. Shores. For others, gatherings can be a time of high stress, fear, and anxiety. The situation can lead to GI issues and even bite incidents. To minimize problems, Dr. Shores advises keeping these pointers in mind. Give the pet a quiet, dark area to retreat to if they choose. That will help prevent them from getting overstimulated, scared, or anxious. Sedatives can help. And tell your guests about your pet's personality type to prevent unwelcome interactions. Final thoughts. Whether traveling or staying home, you should know that the holidays are high-volume periods for urgent care and emergency veterinary facilities. It's a time when primary care facilities are closed and pets are extra likely to need veterinary care. Dr. Shore says pets more often get into high-fat foods or tangle with a visiting dog. The combination adds up to longer wait times at the clinics that are open. Dr. Shores also has advice for anyone considering surprising a loved one with an adorable new pet. Don't. If the recipient has a well-thought-out plan, that's great, but a pet should not be gotten on a whim and given to someone who is not expecting it. He knows that there's a well-documented jump in pets coming into the shelter after the holidays. With these tips in mind, you and your pet will be well-equipped for a cheerful holiday season. As always, if you have any specific questions about how your pet and the holidays, it's best to talk directly to your primary care veterinarian. Next, we'll move on to NationalGeographic.com with an article titled, What Happens to Exotic Pets That Outlive Their Owners? By Sadie Dingfelder. Parrots and tortoises are flooding animal rescue organizations around the country as many owners fail to make arrangements for their long-lived species. Louisa Jaskolski died in her sleep in 2023 at 77, just a few days after having what seemed at first to be a successful heart surgery. When she insisted on going home to be with her animals instead of transferring to a rehabilitation facility, her friends and family were concerned. The day before she passed, I came in the morning and she was in the cage with Travis, a lorikeet. I was like, what are you doing out of bed? Look at your feet. They are all swollen up, says her friend, Sean Dyson. She cared more about them than she did herself. I think that was her downfall. Jaskolski of Sedona, Arizona, was survived by 4 fan-tailed pigeons, 3 Amazon parrots, 3 lorikeets, a pair of finches, 2 desert tortoises, a bearded dragon, and a blue-tongued skink, all rescues. For me, the connection to birds and reptiles goes way deep, she said in a 2020 interview. When I look into the eyes of a parrot or finch or pigeon or a lizard or snake or tortoise, I feel I am looking into the eyes of God. But when exotic pet owners die, where do their animals go? It's a common yet often excruciating challenge for the 9 million Americans who keep exotic pets. Keeping the animals in the family is ideal, but there's no guarantee they'll want to take on the responsibility of being essentially an amateur zookeeper. A parrot problem. Jaskolski left few concrete plans for who would inherit her animals, perhaps because she knew she could count on her animal rescue friends to sort it out. The hardest place to place were the parrots and the tortoises, long-lived animals that can be demanding pets. Parrots, which live 70 years or more, often start out fairly personable, but often become ornery and difficult when they reach sexual maturity, which is anywhere from ages 1 to 6, depending on the species. Says Sarah Lamari, CEO of Mikaboo, a parrot rescue based in San Jose, California. For every parrot that's friendly with people, there's a whole bunch that bite and scream because they're afraid of humans, she says. As highly intelligent social animals, parrots also need a lot of interaction and stimulation, a roomy cage with lots of toys, and supervised time outside of their cage at least twice a day, Lamari says. While many parrots and tortoises are increasingly endangered in the wild, they are far too plentiful in captivity, says Janet Trambule, CEO of Oasis, a parrot rescue in Benson, Arizona. The problem worsened after the pandemic, when people began to give up the exotic animals they bought during lockdown. When people began traveling more, as we all got vaccinated and people went back out into the world, we had a wave of surrenders that was just like, we were so full, we were beyond full, and we're still digging out. Right now, we've got 30 to 40 parakeets waiting to come in and probably 80 to 90 in foster care. When breeders realize how unhappy exotic birds are in captivity, they quit and join the rescue community. But in the meantime, they've contributed to the problem and encouraged a bunch of their friends to get into it as well, LaMarie says. Tortoise trouble. Tortoises are a particular challenge. Often sold at pet stores when they are small and cute, radiated and sulcata tortoises quickly become behemoths that require roomy, fenced-in yards, year-round warm temperature, and wheelbarrow loads of food. As the pandemic has lifted, tortoise rescues have seen a major uptick in people trying to get rid of their ill-considered pets, says Katie Ricken, founder of Tortoise Acres, a 100-acre rescue in Anderson, California. We turn away 20 to 30 tortoises away weekly for lack of space, Ricken says. Compounding the problem are tortoises' long lives. They can live to 150 years and beyond. My advice for people who have tortoises is to put them in their will who they want them to go to and discuss it with the person they are leaving them to, says Amanda Ebenhack, a wildlife rehabber at Central Florida Wildlife Center, Inc., a 6-acre rescue in Okeechobee, Florida. Both Ebenhack and Ricken house their female and male tortoises separately to prevent breeding. Planning ahead. For anyone considering adopting a rescue parrot or another long-lived exotic, LaMarie urges potential owners to do extensive research about how to keep these animals safe and relatively content in captivity. Also, know in advance what will happen to them after you die, Trumbull says. I've done an estate plan, and my birds will come to the sanctuary for the rest of their life, she says. More and more pet owners are doing that, not just for birds, but for any kind of animal they have. But it's really critical with animals you know are going to outlive you. Krista Chadwick, Vice President of Shelter Services for the ASPCA, notes in an email that the nonprofit offers planning resources for owners adding pets to estate plans. Once pets come into our lives, they become vital members of our families, giving and receiving love, companionship, and support. So it's important to ensure uninterrupted care should we become incapable of caring for them ourselves. Next, we'll move on to Dogster.com with an article in the health section titled, Can Dogs Eat Vegetables? Vet Verified Nutrition Facts, Safe Options, and Benefits, written by Chris Dennison Rogers. No relation. Domestication has profoundly affected our canine companions. They've gone from carnivorous predators to pampered pets. Roughly 95% consider them members of their families. That's huge for an animal we once considered a competitor. The gray wolf is the closest ancestor to one of these species diverged from 27,000 years ago. Despite millennia of selective breeding, dogs remain facultative carnivores, benefiting most from a diet based towards animal meat, fat, and byproducts. A facultative carnivore's go, though, dogs can indeed metabolize carbohydrates and starches, as you find in vegetables. Dogs can eat vegetables, although there are some notable exceptions. Why dogs can or can't eat vegetables? Digestibility is the overriding factor in deciding whether dogs can eat vegetables at all. Fundamentally, all macronutrients consumed by your dog, protein, fat, and carbohydrates, are eventually broken down to a simple sugar, glucose. Glucose remains the fundamental energy source that the various cells over your dog's body use for growth, repair, division, and function. However, not all plant matter is the same just because they contain carbohydrates that can be broken down into said glucose. This phenomenon has been explored in research involving canines. In addition, dogs have poorer protein digestibility when fed diets containing plant matter compared to those with animal proteins. Dogs do process plant matter better than cats in many aspects and have a lower protein requirement than cats do. However, they still do best on a diet of a carnivore rather than an omnivore and have a natural instinctive affinity for animal-based foods over plant-based options. Dogs can eat some vegetables. Homemade diets often use some vegetables to balance diets for dogs, but these are often in lower quantities than animal meats and organs in the diet. The other concerns with vegetables rest with the toxicity of some varieties. Sometimes what is safe for us to consume can be toxic or even lethal for your pup. Benefits and dangers of feeding vegetables to dogs. Whether or not dogs can eat vegetables isn't always clear, like how it is with chocolate, a big no-no for dogs. Meanwhile, vegetables can fall into good, okay, and bad categories. One of their benefits is fiber and other nutrients they provide. Carrots, for example, have an excellent addition to your pup's diet as a low-calorie treat. They are high in vitamin A and potassium. You'll even see them in commercial dog foods. Other safe vegetables include the following: green beans, zucchini, cucumber, celery, bell peppers, broccoli, and pumpkin. We recommend getting advice from a veterinarian if you have any questions or concerns regarding adding vegetables to your dog's diet. The dangers of some vegetables. Other vegetables are non-toxic to dogs, but might cause digestive issues. Almost all plant foods in any grocery store or market naturally contain cellulose. However, dogs, and even cats, cannot produce the enzyme cellulase, which helps break down cellulose into glucose. As such, caution is advised when feeding a dog any raw vegetables, as they may cause an upset stomach even if they're not toxic for a dog. High oxalate foods. Oxalic acid is present in many plants. The issue with this chemical compound involves its effect on magnesium and calcium in your dog's body. It combines with these minerals, leading to low blood levels. The reaction can also cause the formation of urinary stones. The vegetables you should avoid giving your dog in high amounts include spinach, beets, and edamame because of their high content. Onions, garlic, chives, and leeks. These allium plants are all poisonous to dogs and cats and should never be given to pets in any quantity. While most of us can eat them without issues, It's another matter for our companion animals. The problem rests with the sulfur-containing compounds that give them their characteristic smell. When your pet eats them, it causes hemolysis, or the breakdown of red blood cells. It doesn't matter how they're prepared. The reaction is the same, with the onset of signs within 24 or more hours after ingestion. A dog doesn't have to eat a lot before the specific type of anemia occurs. Only 15 to 30 grams per kilogram of body weight can start the destruction of oxygen-carrying red blood cells. Sadly, an antidote doesn't exist. Treatment involves supportive care, including IV fluids, blood transfusions, and oxygen therapy. The prognosis depends on how early it's caught. Signs of accidental poisoning include the following: lethargy, loss of appetite, abdominal pain, vomiting, GI distress. It's worth noting that concentrated forms like powders and dehydrated flakes are more toxic than fresh vegetables. Nevertheless, the outcome is the same. Tips for giving your dog vegetables. Our sobering account of onions is necessary because of the severity of consumption. Vegetables can be a welcome addition to your dog's diet. However, they still are best as treats and shouldn't make up more than 10% of your pet's diet. It's not that they're bad for your dog, it's just that they aren't nutritionally complete. Therefore, you can offer your dog the safe vegetables we discussed occasionally in small portions to avoid choking hazards. We recommend only giving your pet one kind at a time and monitoring their reaction to the new food. Make sure they are unseasoned and unsalted. Conclusion: dogs can eat many vegetables without ill effects. You'll find many ingredients in commercial dog foods because of their nutritional value. We recommend giving fresh veggies to your dog sparingly as an occasional treat. Cooked and unseasoned items are best to offer and should be cut into small pieces. Vegetables can provide an excellent low-calorie addition to your pup's diet, but it's best to make sure they are eating a complete and balanced diet as their primary food source. For dogs on a homemade diet, the inclusion of vegetables is something you should consult with your veterinary nutritionist. Next, we'll move on to an article written by Nicole Cosgrove on Dogster.com titled "An Emotional Reunion of Staff Sergeant May and Hero Military Canine Jacob, Thanks to American Humane." Thanksgiving 2024 may be over, but the bond between U.S. Army Staff Sergeant Peyton May and his retired military working dog, Jacob, is forever. On Monday, November 26, 2024, American Humane orchestrated a touching reunion in San Antonio, Texas, between Jacob, an 8-year-old Belgian Malinois, and his former handler, Staff Sergeant May. After 2.5 years apart, the duo, who served back together in Iraq, were finally back together, just in time for Thanksgiving, something the two of them are beyond grateful for. Military background. Staff Sergeant May's history and role with the U.S. Army. Staff Sergeant May comes from a proud military lineage. His grandfather served in the National Guard, while his great uncles were part of the Marine Corps, Air Force, and Navy. Following in their footsteps, Staff Sergeant May enlisted in the U.S. Army at just 18 years old, driven by a desire to deploy overseas and serve his country. Initially assigned to the sniper section as an infantryman, he excelled in his role but soon discovered a new path that would change his military career. While considering leaving the Army, Staff Sergeant May learned about the canine handling program, a position he hadn't known existed. As a lifelong animal lover who grew up with beloved family dogs, the opportunity to combine his passion for animals with his military service was impossible to resist. Referred to as a unicorn job due to its rarity and prestige, he eagerly applied and was thrilled to be accepted. After completing the canine handler's course in June 2020, Staff Sergeant May met his prospective partner, Jacob, marking the beginning of a remarkable partnership. Jacob's vital role in the military. Jacob wasn't any military working dog. He was part of the elite patrol explosive detection dog, enhanced PEDD-E program. You may have heard of this program before when we shared it in a previous story. Dogs in this program are trained to identify ammunition and explosives from up to a football field away. It's grueling and is only taught 3 times a year with space for only 10 military working dog teams. But it creates highly effective teams that operate with a unique level of trust and independence. Jacob's work was critical in safeguarding military personnel and civilians in high-risk areas, and he saved countless lives throughout his 7 years of service. But beyond his professional contributions, Jacob was a loyal companion to Staff Sergeant May throughout their deployment, building a bond through trust and hard work. The connection between Jacob and Staff Sergeant May didn't happen overnight. In fact, upon meeting Jacob for the first time, Staff Sergeant May recalls thinking, "This dog is nuts," but that didn't stop him from adoring him. While boisterous, he could immediately see how hardworking and highly driven Jakob was, and he was incredibly easy to train and get along with, making him the ideal canine counterpart. Staff Sergeant May also loved Jakob's keen sense of when it was time to work and when it was time to play. While off duty, he was an affectionate cuddle bug. The two became a certified team in December 2020. After a while of working with each other, going on Secret Service missions, and going on deployment, we were able to come together. We built that trust with a hard work ethic and came to a happy medium with each other. That's why, when it comes to our personalities, we mix together well, Staff Sergeant May shared. The two were deployed to Iraq from July 2021 to April 2022. And the pair's mission was patrols, scanning vehicles, and checking all base entrants for ammunition or explosives. The deployment was Staff Sergeant May's first time out of the country, and Jakob was able to help Staff Sergeant May cope with the austere environment and loneliness that deployment can bring. Jakob and Staff Sergeant May were together 24/7, shared a room and even a twin bed, and it sounds like the cuddle bug Jakob liked to take up most of the space they had, so their bond continued to strengthen. A heartbreaking separation. In June 2022, Staff Sergeant May was reassigned to Joint Base San Antonio-Lackland, Texas. Forced to leave Jakob at Fort Drum, he was devastated. Coming back from a nine-month deployment and then not seeing him, it was really heartbreaking, Staff Sergeant May shared. Jakob struggled too, unable to bond with a new handler, so he was assigned as a carer and was not on active duty. Knowing that Jakob wasn't working made the separation even more difficult for Staff Sergeant May, and he was persistent in his request for the military to retire Jakob so that he could rest and enjoy the rest of his life. This fall, his efforts paid off when Jakob's retirement was approved. A long-awaited reunion. Staff Sergeant May immediately reached out to American Humane for assistance upon hearing about his retirement. He first became familiar with the nonprofit organization when they helped his friend, fellow canine handler Isaac Weissman, reunite with his military dog earlier in May. American Humane quickly stepped in to support Staff Sergeant May's request, arranging for Jakob's journey from Fort Drum in New York to Texas. Jakob received VIP treatment during his travels and with an American Humane handler personally escorting him and ensuring he had his own seat on an American Airlines flight to San Antonio. On Monday, November 25th, Staff Sergeant May and Jakob experienced a heartwarming reunion in San Antonio. Thrilled to officially adopt Jakob, Staff Sergeant May is committed to providing the well-deserved, restful retirement that the canine veteran has earned. He's particularly excited about traveling with his best friend and giving him the couch he deserves, while focusing on keeping Jakob healthy and nurturing their special bond. Their next adventure will take them to Vicenza, Italy, where Staff Sergeant May is set to be stationed. In addition to facilitating Jakob's transportation, American Humane will also provide free veterinary care for the dog for the rest of his life, ensuring his well-being into retirement. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. All About Pets is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.